On the 24th of July 2007, the Burj Dubai became the world's tallest building. On the 13th of September 2007, it passed the CN Tower to become the world's tallest freestanding structure. In a few months' time, it will pass the television mast in Blanchford, USA, and become the world's tallest structure. Just before the feast, when I was preparing my sermonette, it stood at 142 floors tall. They are building one floor every 2 days, so by now it has passed 150 floors. It is only two-thirds complete. The height that has been released says that it will get to 818 meters tall. That's 2,684 foot. But they haven't disclosed the final height that this building will be going to. And it has been speculated that it will be the first modern superstructure that will get to the 1 kilometer height limit. That's 3,280 foot. Within it, there will be a 175-room luxury hotel, 144 luxury residential suites, 800 apartments, ballrooms, cinemas, auditoriums, swimming pools. I think there were three swimming pools. This is the pinnacle of man's architectural and construction at this moment. 22 million man hours will have gone into building the tower, a budget of $20 billion. But they are not just building this pinnacle of architectural megastructures. They are building an entire downtown. They are building the world's largest shopping mall, 30,000 homes, 19 residential towers will augment this Burj Dubai superstructure. As an architect, I would love to have been involved in the design of this building. The challenges involved, I mean, can you imagine the size of the foundations that this thing has to have? Not to mention how you get all the waste down through the pipes, you know. Where does it all go? How big are the electric? There's masses and masses of challenges. I will never be involved in a project like that. But I will be involved in a project far greater than that. The last great day, all the people that have ever lived will be resurrected. An estimate of 60 billion people will be resurrected. And each one of them will need to be housed. What will the architectural and construction principles be in the future? Just this afternoon, in the short time available to me, I want to look at a couple of basic architectural principles and compare them with how the world addresses them now and how they will be addressed in the future. The title of the sermonette is Architecture 101 and the Two Trees. The underlying motive of architecture today. Turn with me, please, to Genesis 11. I'm going to be reading this from the New Living Translation. And in verse 1, it's talking about the building of the Tower of Babel. At one time, the whole world spoke a single language, and they used the same words. As the people migrated eastwards, they found a plain in Babylonia, and they settled there. They began to talk about construction projects. Come, they said, let us make great piles of burnt brick and collect natural asphalt to use as mortar. Let's build a great city with a tower that reaches to the skies, a monument to our greatness. This will bring us together and keep us from scattering around the world. No matter how big the architectural project is in this world, whether it's a house or the Burj Dubai, it is a monument to the greatness of the client that is paying our bill. Everyone wants their monument of their greatness. Have you ever wondered how big the Tower of Babel was? As a lad, I saw a picture of the Tower of Babel as it was drawn. It was a nice Italianesque building. You had the builders hoisting up the bricks, maybe 10, 20 stories high. Not quite in the same league. The Book of Jubilees actually said the project of building the Tower of Babel was 43 years long. 600,000 men worked on it. And the height was said as 5,433 cubits and 2 palms. That equates to 8,150 foot, or 2.5 kilometres tall. The Burj Dubai is not even going to be half that. The 17th century historian Vestergen, quoting Josephus, actually said it was wider than it was tall. It was like a mountain. And the figure that Vestergen quoted was 5,164 paces high, or 7.6 kilometres, basically 25,000 foot high. That was a monument to man's greatness. How does a structure like that stand up? You know, if I told some of my colleagues at work, they would laugh me down. But Professor J.E. Gordon, in his book, Structures and Why Things Don't Fall Down, he said, the type of brick they used, if they built it straight up, go to 2 kilometres before it would fail. If they built it like a mountain, it would carry on being able to sustain its weight until the people at the top died of oxygen starvation. They could build far greater than we can today. What will the underlying motive of the construction and the architecture be in the future? Turn with me, please, to Micah 4. Instead of going to visit man's great wonders of the world, the Sears Towers, you know, the Burj Dubai, Micah 4, verse 1. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. God's greatness will be exalted above all others, not man's greatness. It is an emphasis shift towards putting God first, not man first. What will the quality of the buildings be like? Mr. Henderson mentioned that the buildings will have to stand. You know, if we build one in the first year of the millennium, they will have to stand for 1,100 years to the end of the last great day. That is some quality, not only in construction, but in design. In the UK, an affordable spec house is designed for 25 years. That is the economical lifespan to design for. By the time you've paid your mortgage off, your house is falling down. Even the major projects that I'm involved with, like hospitals, 50, 60 years, that's it. 1,100 years. We don't today have the experience or the knowledge on how to build that. Now, I'm looking forward to meeting Lot and the people that built these huge pyramids and buildings in the olden days, just to see how they did it. But what will the design and construction be like? Please turn with me to 1 Kings 6. And this is King Solomon, just an account of building the temple. 1 Kings 6, and in verse 7. And the house, when it was in building, was built of stone, made ready before it was brought thither. Prefabricated buildings is not a modern idea. But King Solomon's temple, the temple of God, was done a lot better than today we can. So that it was neither hammer, nor axe, nor tool of iron heard in the house while it was in the building. I'm sure Mr. Spellman will agree with me. A builder doesn't turn up on site without a hammer, a DeWalt screwdriver, and a tube of mastic to hide all the little mistakes. This temple was built off-site, taken to site, and it slotted into place. The brick, the stonework was not rough stonework put together because they were going to cover it. It fitted perfectly. Every stone had its place. The quality of it, I mean, I love natural stonework, and I would have loved to have seen the quality of this stonework. Drop down to verse 9. So he built the house and finished it, and covered the house with beams and boards of cedar. Have you ever seen natural wood that has been oiled 20 or 30 times? The grain comes alive. Just dropping down to verse 18. And the cedar of the house within was carved with knops and open flowers. All was cedar, and there was no stone seen. So this perfect stonework was covered up. And the cedar that was intricately carved, if you drop down to verse 21, so Solomon overlaid the house with pure gold. So this beautiful timber was covered with pure gold. How does that compare with today's building construction standards? When I was in Kazakhstan, in Almaty, it's a Richter scale 9/10 if you're building. You've got to build for earthquakes, major earthquakes. And they build with huge concrete columns with reinforcement through the middle of it. And I was looking around this one building, and there was an area where the concrete was missing. You could get the reinforcement bar and wobble it. And I was sort of standing there looking at it. My colleague who runs the office out there said, "Don't worry," he said, "they'll cover it up with marble and nobody will ever know." Unfortunately, marble doesn't work the same in an earthquake. But it's no different in the UK. It's the same thing. Let's palm off the cheap workmanship, cover it up, and nobody will notice. God doesn't work like that. You can imagine him and Christ, you know, when he's designing the creation. 75% of the atoms have to be perfect, but we're allowed 25% with faults to pass through the production line. It doesn't work like that. It is quality from the ground up. The stonework that was covered with the cedar was perfect. The cedar was of such high quality, the intricate carvings, and then that was covered. It is quality running right the way through. It's a total mind shift. It's going the way of God rather than the way of man. And God, thankfully, doesn't work the same way as the world leaders do today. The other thing that struck me in Kazakhstan was looking at the president's palace. Hundreds of millions of dollars on this president's palace. Amazing looking building. 5 minutes down the road, his people are living in tin shacks. Temperature variant, plus 40 in the summer, minus 40 in the winter. And they are living in tin shacks. There's enough money in that country from the oil that none of them have to be living in tin shacks. Mr. Armstrong, when he was building Ambassador College, he didn't just build Ambassador Auditorium to be of high quality and put the students in the tin shacks. It was quality throughout. It wasn't cheap and here. It was the whole way of life. The temple that was built in King Solomon's time had master craftsmen, 30, 40, 50 years experience in construction. Just imagine what it would be like at the end of the millennium when we've got 800 and 900 years of building experience. The quality will be something else. Final point, town planning 101. In the last great day, if you take an estimated figure of 60 billion people being resurrected, and you say 4 people per house, that's 15 billion houses that will have to be built. That's an awful lot of houses. In the UK, we had some guidance given to us on how to design high-density buildings. I sent this to Mr. Henderson, and he put it up on the news page. 210 units per acre. Say 4 people per unit. Per acre, that is 840 people. And I was doing a bit of reading up. Some of you may have heard of Kowloon Walled City in Hong Kong. It was demolished in 1994. The estimated population per acre was 7,788 people per square acre. That is one person for every half a square meter or 5 square foot. Turn with me, please, to Isaiah 5, verse 8. Isaiah, "Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth." God did not design us to live like factory hens. He didn't create hens to live like factory hens. But man was designed to interact with the creation, not to live in structures that are so compact and dense that you have half a square meter of ground floor space. Wikipedia, the online encyclopedia, says 1/8 of the world's surface is habitable at the moment, with mountains, deserts, and the ocean. After the earthquakes at the end time, and the mountains are leveled, and the deserts will bloom, and the oceans are smaller, let's take a figure, and this is my sort of, you know, estimate. Say 80% becomes habitable and 20% for, you know, oceans and, you know, lakes and seas. 60 billion people on the surface area of this Earth, which is 510 kilometers square, works out for every man, woman, and child at 1.7 acres each, not half a square meter. Everyone will have the space to sit under his own tree. There will be green belts around the unwalled cities so that you don't get the sprawling metropolitan areas of Greater Manchester that just take over the city or the town that was next to them and ever expand out. They will have clear boundaries. Man will be able to sit in the countryside, meditate, and look at the creation that God has made. We will have the space to think, which we don't have today. So in conclusion, that's a very, very brief look at architecture. Just 3 points, fundamentals of construction. We won't be building to our greatness anymore. We will be glorifying God. We will be building with such quality that, you know, when the people are resurrected that have died in Ethiopia in the famines, and we put an arm around them and say, this house is yours, they're going to think, yeah, right, what are you joking? This will be a palace to them. The simple house in the future will be of such beauty and quality, they won't know what has hit them. We won't be shortchanging the client by doing shoddy workmanship and covering it up. These buildings will be quality and they will last. And they will be laid out in such a way that town planners will have to totally rethink everything that they have learned. We all will. But it's going to be such an amazing place. The architectural and the construction philosophy of mankind is going to be turned right the way around. We are going to be designing and constructing God's way, taking from the tree of life, not deciding for ourselves what is good and what is not.